I'm speaking today to Dr. Philippa East. So welcome to the Versatile Writer.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me. And you can just call me Philippa, by the way. That's fine.
Thank you. Right. So you're a clinical psychologist and a fiction author as well.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess being a psychologist is my day job. It's currently what mainly pays the bills. but yeah, I've been writing probably for about the last 10 years or so.
Right, brilliant. So what drew you to creative writing in the first place?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a good question, actually. I think some people say, oh, I've always written, I've always wanted to be a writer. But it wasn't really like that for me, I think, because I was, you know, went down the line of my psychology training, and that was pretty all-encompassing, really. But looking back, it kind of makes sense now, in that I've always been a hugely voracious reader. For me, books are like eating and sleeping.
Exactly.
So I think I've always loved stories, I've always loved books, and yeah, so I think it was quite natural that I would probably end up doing something writing-wise. But I tried lots of other creative pursuits before, like photography, pottery, music, and none of them were quite my thing. And then when I thought, I'll write a novel.
as you do.
As you do. Then I realised this was probably my thing. I mean, the novel is in the bin now, that first one, but I fell in love with writing.
Oh, that's brilliant to hear, actually, because so many of us, when we find our feet with writing, it's, you know, that it's the right fit because it kind of fits in with your soul. And I'm sort of getting a bit paranormal there, but it kind of just fits in with your core and it feels so natural, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that makes absolute sense. And I think all the other creative things I tried, I was trying to find what the medium was for me to express just whatever I wanted to express. I think we all have things we want to express, we all have a creative side, and it's just finding that type of art or type of expression that feels right. And yeah, as I say, I think because my books are like 20% of my actual DNA, I think,
exactly.
Kind of all came together.
I've got an odd question for you, specifically for you, actually, but the question essentially is, how does your day job fit into your writing life? But I'm also curious to know how your the psychology part of you fits in or creates, actually, the psyche of the main characters.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's quite a lot of overlap, to be honest, between psychology and storytelling. I think at the sort of biggest level, I think both storytelling and psychology, including clinical psychology, are about trying to understand human nature, trying to understand how we tick, trying to understand how to live in the world. I think we often read stories to get insights into how to live our lives, really, things that we might be able to take from stories to learn and to grow. And I think in psychology, we're trying to understand how people work and what might be best for them. I think there's kind of overlap in that big way. I think in my job as a clinical psychologist, a lot of what I do is delivering psychological therapy to clients. So a lot of that work is about exploring people's narratives, exploring people's stories, trying to help them make sense of what's happened to them. So it's quite a creative discipline in that way. It's not as sort of rigorously scientific in application as, say, I don't know, heart medicine or something. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kind of experimentation and fluidity in it. So a lot of the time it's about using, yeah, the idea of narrative, really, to make sense of things.
Do you feel then with the psychology side that you have a better understanding, perhaps, of how your main characters are going to relate to each other?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. But, yeah, for me it can feel like a double-edged sword, to be honest, because I think probably it does. Like, I think I probably have quite an intrinsic sense, just from my training, of how people tend to operate, what logically makes sense in terms of how people think and react and respond to situations, that things that might be obvious to me from my training that I might not realize aren't obvious to someone else. But then I think I also feel a bit of a pressure that if people reading my work know that I'm a psychologist, they'll be expecting my characters to be sort of super amazingly plausible.
I hadn't considered that, but yes.
If I create a character that's just idiotic and doesn't make sense, I'll be like, oh my God, I just know what she's doing. I like to think so.
Tell me about your book, Little White Lies. First of all, it's not due out till February 2020, but what genre do you write in?
Yeah, so this book is really in the dark women's fiction niche, really. So it has some thrillery element, so it's got a bit of a page-turning quality, quite a bit of suspense, but it's really looking more at, well, going back to the psychology side, I guess, it's looking a lot at the relational side of things. It's about how people connect with each other or don't connect with each other. It's about family dynamics, parent-child relationships, this kind of thing. So it steers away perhaps from some of the more traditional psychological thriller elements of kind of, you know, is your husband actually a murderer?
You know, the usual questions.
Yeah, so the story itself is about a family whose child has been missing for 7 years. And the book, though, actually starts with the child, the daughter Abigail, being found and her being returned home to the family. And it's about whether, or how and whether, the family can cope with that, and also the fact that in virtue of the fact that Abigail's come back, there's now certain facts and secrets about what happened around her disappearance that are now in danger of coming to light.
How long did it take you to write this book?
Longer than I like to say. I started it in 2015, which was when I shifted from working full-time in the NHS to working part-time with my own practice. So that freed up time to have a go at a novel, really, which, as I'm sure you know, it's a pretty full-on process writing.
Yes, it is.
Compared to, for example, maybe writing short stories or that kind of thing, which I'd done before. So I started in 2015 and didn't know really what I was doing, particularly in writing a novel. I think we all kind of muddle our way through the first couple. So I did a lot of rewriting and rewriting. It's been through quite a lot of drafts between then and now.
I think that's one of the things, isn't it, about writing novels. You're learning along the way, because nobody's ever... You're not born knowing how to write it, but you can be given loads and loads of advice and guidance. And there's always these rules that must be broken. But essentially, once you're writing it, you have to learn along the way what works for you as a writer rather than what works in the mainstream.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I also think there's quite a lot of these elements of craft in writing that... When we're a reader, we don't know. It's a bit like, I think, like the law of perspective in painting. We can tell when a painting's not working. If the perspective is off, it just looks weird. Mm-hmm. And we can tell when a painting is working, but we might not understand properly the laws of perspective and how to apply them as an artist. I think it's a bit similar in writing, actually, that when we actually are able to learn some of those craft elements, we get a lot better control over our writing. But often in the beginning, before we understand what they are, even the fact that they exist, things like, you know, having a consistent point of view, you know, we're often fumbling around in the dark. I remember this very first novel that I tried to write that's now in the bin. I had this weird prologue section that was written from like 5 different points of view in one scene. And I knew that there was something wrong with this scene. I knew it was weird, but I didn't know why. And then when I learned about point of view, I was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah, that big, oh, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, and then you realise just how much you don't know and how much you've been going wrong.
So I've asked you about the psyche of your main characters, but tell me about them and what are their, obviously their daughter, they want her back, but what are their wants?
Oh, yeah. So the book is actually written from two points of view, or two characters' perspectives. So one is from the mother of the missing girl, so she's called Anne, and the second point of view is from the teenage cousin of the missing girl, a teenager called Jess. So the missing girl and this teenager were basically their cousins, and they're basically the same age, so almost like sisters to each other. Mm-hmm. And from Jess's point of view, she is just absolutely elated to have her kind of soulmate best friend back. And all she wants is for things to be just like they were before Abigail went missing when they were about 8. So to be kind of playmates and best friends and everything, just to be them, to be exactly on the same track again and doing everything at the same time together and growing up step in step. And as you can imagine, it's not really like that.
No.
And then from Anne's point of view, so Anne is the mother, and all Anne wants is happy families. Happy families, happy family, happy family. She doesn't want anything about what's happened in the past to come up. She doesn't want anything to threaten the relationship with her daughter now, because she's just got her daughter back, and all she wants is to have her back in the fold. Everyone to be happy, everyone to be loving each other, but unfortunately, that doesn't really go to plan.
I can relate to a lot of that attitude of life. You just want everything to be nice all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really scary to look face on the things that are not okay, particularly within a family. You know, I think I was talking with someone else about the book, and we were talking about how all families kind of have their kind of places that you can't go, the things that can't get talked about or are very difficult to talk about, and they're kind of like the toxic waste ground area for a family that no one wants to tread on.
It's fascinating, actually, isn't it, when you look at it that way? What's your hope for this book? I mean, obviously you're with a great publisher, a great agent, so what's your hope for the book?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely I am super super excited that I have it's at HQ HarperCollins who are publishing the book, and they've been absolutely fantastic. And my agent, Sarah Hornsley, has been brilliant as well. She actually saw draft 12 of the manuscript and very kindly told me that the whole thing needed to be rewritten. But she was totally right. You know, she really had the vision that I was aiming for the whole way, but just hadn't really achieved. So big, big thank you to her. So I guess, I mean, it sounds like such a cliche, but I guess I just want people to enjoy the book, really. And I think it was, for me, writing the book was a chance to explore some themes that feel very interesting and very inspiring to me, really. And I hope that maybe some of those themes will really resonate with people. Perhaps it will open up conversations for people that that they can have about, you know, thinking about their own families or thinking about their own experiences. So I think it's that exciting thing when a very personal piece of work that means something to you goes out in the world. And I guess what we all want as writers or as artists is to feel that it has meaning for someone else as well.
I think when I was asking you about the genre, did you know that was your go-to genre?
I guess a bit like we were talking about before, about knowing some of the technical things, I think I was probably still a little bit fuzzy on the marketing genres at the time. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think there was a couple of books that I had read that really felt like the kind of books that I wish I had written and that were very inspiring to me. One was Gone Girl, which I know is, you know, everyone talks about Gone Girl, but it was a big deal because it felt to me like It was a commercial book, whereas I normally read quite a lot of Penguin classics and literary fiction and things. It was clearly a commercial book, but it was so beautifully written, and it had some really sophisticated themes in it that I really admired. And I thought, wow, like that really hits the kind of intersection between, you know, a great page turner, but that sense of there being real sort of substance behind it. And then another book that I read was Good Me, Bad Me by Ali Land, which was this brilliant portrayal of, again, a sort of thriller-esque theme. There's a sort of serial killer storyline right at the back of the book, or in the sort of background of the story. But the main focus was about this young girl who'd been caught up in it and her trying to reintegrate into a foster family. And that idea of kind of exploring the world of the family, particularly the kind of parent-child relationships and the sort of thriller elements, really, that was the kind of stories that I wanted to tell, really, these ones that explore these really critical relationships. So I think it was my publisher who told me it was dark women's fiction. I was like, great, that's fine.
that's good, because otherwise it might be a genre that's not known just yet, but knowing that there is a genre there that's going to be readily accepted, that's got to be good news for you.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time it's sort of the publisher or the agent's call on how they might market a book, and that's part of their job to see where it fits on the shelf. Mm-hmm. But I think for authors, I think the best thing that we can do is read really widely and have a sense that our book fits because there are other books out there like it, but perhaps we're trying to innovate a little step further on those books, or write a book that is similar to those books but fits a little space where there isn't a book quite like that out there at the minute. But yeah, I mean, we can tie ourselves in knots trying to pick the marketing genre. I think that's where reading widely just comes in really handy, though, because you can get a sense of, what kind of books are popular right now.
Also, it's probably a good thing to write the story you want to write, and if it fits into a genre, then shape it towards it, but not have the genre, the expectation of it shape your story, because your story still needs to be written no matter what genre it fits into.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. There's no point me sitting down and saying, oh, I'm going to write a space opera action adventure story, because first of all, it doesn't hugely appeal, but secondly, I don't read those books, so I wouldn't have a clue what I was doing, so I wouldn't write something that anyone would want to read, because they'd just be like, well, this person has got no idea what readers of this genre want, and they're not delivering. I think the best way to find that you write a marketable book is to read books that are published. Just read a lot.
Yes.
It's the best way.
How are you going to celebrate its release?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm organising a launch party.
Yay!
Which is a bit like trying to organise your own birthday party. It's a bit cringeworthy. It's like, oh, no. But, so I'm having a launch party in Lincoln, which is sort of the nearest main town to me because I live in Lincolnshire. Mm-hmm. So, that's going to be on the Friday, the 7th of February, which is the day just after the book comes out here in the UK.
Wow. So is that going to be at a bookshop or something like that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So the Watersons in Lincoln have very kindly agreed for me to have it there. So if any of you want to come along, let me know.
Brilliant stuff. It sounds excellent. I hope it's going to be all over social media as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be putting it on Twitter. Yeah.
Excellent. Right, before I let you go, do you have another book in the pipeline?
Yeah, I do. So my contract with HQ is for a 2-book deal. I'm currently working on that, basically. That will be kind of due out sometime after Little White Lies, I guess.
Excellent stuff. Oh, I'm so pleased for you that it's all working out for you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Right, thank you for being part of the Versatile Writer today.
Absolute pleasure. It's been a real fun little moment in the afternoon. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Philippa. Take care.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.